You know, fear is probably our most visceral emotion we can have. It just kind of rises up in our gut, and then it just grabs us. When we're afraid, we're reminded that we're not in control. Fear strikes in the things that matter the most to us. Our welfare, the care of those that really matter to us, who are close to us. Fear affects all of us. Sometimes we walk around in abject fear, but at other times, maybe it's little things lying under the surface that can just gnaw at us. What can we do about living free of this fear? You can open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 27. Psalm 27, and we'll talk about this. You know, you don't have to be a timid, anxious person to be living by fear. A person living by fear will bully those around them. They'll think, if I can put down other people, then it'll make me look good. A person living in fear is worried that if they don't take care of everything, everything around them will fall apart. All the plates are spinning around. If I don't pay attention to one of them, everything is going to come crashing down. You can worry about stuff, about your money, about your health. You can worry about growing old. You can worry about unfulfilled longings. You can worry about the future that's just way out there that you're just not in control of. You can fear failure. Fear has ways of just getting inside each of us and messing things up. Fear can hurt us in a number of ways. See, if we're afraid, we'll never rest. You'll never be at peace because you're always worried that something is going to pop up. Fear robs you of joy in the moment. Fear will rob you of enjoying the present because you're concerned about the future. Fear will mess up our lives. Now, some good can come out of fear. It's good to have a healthy fear of certain things. It's good to have a healthy fear of guns. It's good to have a healthy fear when you see a big dog coming at you that you don't know. Fear can be a good alarm system, but it's a bad operating system. Fear does a good job of alerting us to dangers, but then fear does a horrible job of taking over from there. See, because when we fear, we tend to throw our mind out and then just live by our gut. And we usually get ourselves in trouble. The fear I'm talking about today is fear as an operating system. I'm not talking about fear as an alarm system. I'm talking about it as an operating system, a way of life. And it's not something that God wants for us. Fear as a way of life, fear as an operating system, can be thought of as this way: false expectations appearing real. False expectations appearing real. The reality is, fear is nurtured by ignorance. Fear is nurtured by not having all the facts. And when you don't have all the facts and you realize you're not in control, your gut emotions rush in and try to take care of matters for you. And you get in trouble. And you experience false expectations appearing real. And then you start living your life by these false expectations, and you miss out on all that God has for you. So how do you experience freedom from fear? How can you enjoy life where you can say, fear is a good alarm system that God has put into me, but I am not going to let fear control the way I live? I can't think of a better place for us to look than Psalm 27. Psalm 27 starts off this way in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd open our eyes as we look in your word right now. Lord, you are the author of Scripture, and I pray that you would take your words, put them deep in our minds and our hearts, And I pray that you would free us from anything that is causing us to live by fear. I pray that you would guide the words I say now, and that, Lord, you would draw us all closer to you to experience life as you intended to be. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This was written by King David. David was probably one of the most famous characters in the Old Testament, probably the best known of Israel's kings. God used him greatly. But David's path to the kingship was not an easy one. It didn't just get dropped into his lap. God told him when he was a young man, you are going to be the next king of Israel. And so David isn't quite sure what to do about that, but he says, okay, I guess I ought to hang around the palace. But the trouble is, the king who was in power, Saul, was rejecting God and going further and further away from God and was making a mess of things. And the people in the kingdom saw this. They said, hey, you know, this guy David you've got, he's a pretty sharp dude. Which just made Saul more and more insecure and fearful. What am I going to do here? And so Saul decided he was going to take matters into his own hands, living by fear. I am going to kill David and take his threat to my leadership. And so Saul, who was supposed to be leading a kingdom, decided, you know, I got better things to do with my time than worry about the economy and jobs for my people. I have a mission, and that mission is to kill the one guy that everyone thinks could do a better job than I can. So Saul got his army, he rousted them up, and they chased all over the land going after David. And David had a small group of friends who happened to be great fighters, which is a good thing when you got friends like that and you're running. And he had these guys, and they were living in caves, running for their lives. They couldn't hold down regular jobs because they would have been reported. They were running for their lives. They spent the better part of these few years in the backside of nowhere running from a king who was putting all of his resources into killing him. David, I think, knew a few things about fear when he wrote this psalm. He goes on in verses 2 and 3, and he says this, when evil men advance against me and devour my flesh, my enemies and my foes attack me, and they'll stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. David knew what fear was about because he had this army all around him trying to kill him. Now, when he talks about fear, in the first verse, he's talking about two types of fear that can affect all of us. The first one that's used, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear, is talking about a dread, a sense of dread. It's a paralyzing fear. And I've got a picture of something which I always dread up here. It's a sense of dread that someone is always out to get you. It will never go away. The second word that is used in verse 1 says, the Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? That is a different word that is used there, and it is talking about panic. Now, let me take you to this picture, and I'll tell you how I experienced both fears at the same time. I had a chance to go snorkeling a number of years ago, and we went, and there was a boat wreck. It was off the coast a little bit. And the water was not that deep right there. This boat had been scuttled in World War II, and it was the top of it was maybe like 8 feet below the water. And then it seemed like not too far away, probably about the end of this room, is where the shelf of the beach just kind of dropped down to nowhere into blackness. And so somehow I thought, you know, I've got to try this snorkeling thing. But once I got in the water, two thoughts gripped a hold of me. The first is I can't see what's all the way in that blackness, and I'm sure that Jaws's brother is just looking at me. So I was nervous and scared the whole time. That was ongoing fear. But then also, as we were going along this boat wreck, you would see, you know, the windows of the boat, the portholes. And I had a second type of fear. The panic struck me then, because as I was going by each one, I could just imagine in my mind before I got there, these teeth coming right out of the window at me. That was panic. So I experienced both fears at the same time. Somehow I made it. Those fears were all unfounded. I think the biggest fish I saw that day was maybe this big. Fears can be unfounded. But there's two types of fear that we need to be aware of in life. One is that ongoing oppression. It won't go away. It is a paralyzing fear. The other is a sense of panic where you're worrying about, what if this goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? And David is saying, look, it's all covered when you go to God. You don't have to be paralyzed by fear, and you've got nothing to panic about. Well, how can this be so? The words that are used in this psalm are really important. Every word matters. It starts off with, the Lord is my. That word my is critical, because when David is saying, the Lord is my, he's saying, I own this. This is not just truth. This is not just something that I've heard and I think is a nice theory. This is something that I really believe. And I am going to live my life by this truth. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Light. The Lord himself is my light. Not just God will give me some light, but the Lord is my light. Light's important because it lets you see what's really going on. And light gives you direction. When that panic, when that feeling in our gut strikes us, we need God's light. Because if we don't get it, we're going to run off by our own feelings and we'll get in trouble. But we need God's light to give us direction and bearing. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. This salvation is a great word. You know, if you've been in church circles for a long time, we tend to think of salvation only as a ticket to heaven. And don't get me wrong, that's a great thing. But there is so much more to our salvation than just thinking about way ahead in the future. The nuance of the word that's used here is that this is a deliverance. It is a come from behind victory. And I love that thought when we think of God as our salvation. It's a come from behind victory. You see, we would love to have our lives all planned and figured out and say, this is the way things are going to go. Boom, 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 boom. But you live life a little bit and you get curveballs thrown at you and you end up going off this rabbit trail down here. We go all over the place. Life doesn't go as we plan or hope. The unexpected happens. And sometimes the unexpected is bleak. Maybe you lose your job. Maybe an illness hits you. Something you didn't plan for. What do? God, this doesn't look very good here. You're sure not taking good care of me. Our first thought is to say, wait a minute, the plan isn't working. If only we would do what David did here when he's running for his life all over the countryside, when he was the rightful king. We say, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing here. I don't understand why this is happening now, but I'm going to trust that you are going to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. You know, the ultimate come from behind victory is what happened on the cross. You think of this. God made this world perfect. And then mankind, right away, in the first chance, we mess it up. Now, we love to get mad at Adam and Eve and say they blew it, but the truth is, if any of us were in their spot, we would have done the same thing. The world is a mess. There's sin, there's war, there's suffering, there's sickness. But God says, I love the world so much, I will make a way for them. I will send a Savior. Jesus is God in the flesh. He stepped into time, into our world, to be our Savior. And most people who started realizing, hey, there's something special about this guy, are thinking, all right, if he's the Savior, then he's going to fix all of our problems right now. He's going to come in as the King. This is great. But it didn't happen that way. And things went from bad to worse because this Savior is powerless in front of his mob that takes him to a court hearing that was a sham, and then he gets crucified. What is going on here? If you'd have ended the story there, God's plan would have been a failure. But this is where you got to remember that God is the master of come-from-behind victories. 3 days after hanging on the cross, Jesus rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, he did everything that needed to be done so that you and I could be right with God. No human being ever has to fear God's judgment or God's disapproval, because God has made a way for us. And the way for us to be right with God is by saying, Lord, I recognize that I'm sinful. I realize there's no way I can earn your favor by doing good things. And I believe that Jesus died on that cross to pay the penalty for my sin. And when he rose again, he gave me a way to be right with you. It's the ultimate come from behind victory, and God invites you into it. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, you have nothing to worry about. Your future is secure. Later on in the New Testament, the Bible says there is no condemnation to anyone who is in Christ. When God is our light and our salvation, we have nothing to fear. We should never be paralyzed by it. The next phrase he uses, he says, the Lord is my stronghold. Some of your Bibles say strength. The word that's used there is stronghold. It is carries with it the meaning of a castle, a fortress. Now, we don't operate this way anymore. But in days of old, most villages had a stronghold. We lived for several years in England. Number of old villages where we lived. And in these villages, you would see the church building in stone, but it wasn't a quaint little church building with a nice sharp steeple. It was a church building which also had what looked like a castle turret on it, because it was the stronghold of the village. So when raiding parties would come in seeking to pillage the land, the people who were working out in the fields, they'd get warning that someone's coming, and right then they'd drop everything and run into that stronghold. And that is where they would defend themselves. It's an important concept for us to understand, because when the raiders, when the Vikings, when the Normans, whoever they were, came into these English villages, people didn't just sit outside in the field saying, I wonder if I should use my battle axe or if I should use my longbow. I'm going to call together a group of friends. Let's think about what this ought to be. You ran straight to the stronghold, and then you figured it out. And we can learn from that. When something that might make us panic happens to us, when the unexpected happens, run straight to God. And then say, Lord, would you help me figure it out? The trouble is, we live by fear and we say, I'm going to figure this out. This date makes no sense. This shouldn't be happening to me. Then we get mad at God. We get worried. We get upset. Everything falls apart. God says, I'm your stronghold. When the unexpected happens, run to me right away and I will take care of you. I've shared this with some of you before. I'll give an example of when I didn't do this, to my shame. We lived over in England from 2003 to 2008. And in 2003, when we moved over there, we sold our house. And it was the beginning of the of things heating up here. And I just remember our neighbors and I was thinking, man, this is great. Our houses are going up $10,000 a week. You know, this is incredible. And so we sold our house in 2003, moved over to England, and lived in church housing. We didn't own a place. And something happened as I was walking through the town, and I would walk by the real estate windows, and I go, whoa, wait a minute. These prices are going up. And if these prices are going up and I can't afford one now, then I'm sunk when I'm ready to buy one. And for the better part of a year, I remember just being angry at God. I remember thinking, I'm done. I've let my family down. And what I should have done is gone straight to the stronghold. Whoa, Lord, this didn't make sense. If I'd have read the scriptures and seen how all the time God says, you follow me, I will take care of you, I promise it. But I didn't go to the stronghold. And I let a year or so go by, worrying, panicking, getting angry. Looking back on that, I'm ashamed of myself. I should have known better. I should have gone straight to the stronghold. God took care of us. I won't bore you with the whole story. God took care of us in moving back in ways that were greater than I could ever imagine. God will take care of us, but we've got to go straight to that stronghold. No one can beat you when you're in the stronghold, and you don't have to worry about being surprised because God will give you light and he'll give you direction. So David now has this security. He's being chased all over the country, but God is his light, his salvation, his stronghold. And instead of asking for battle directions, instead of saying, okay, Lord, now give me the instructions, I'm safe, tell me what to do, he says this, verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in the temple. Wait a minute, that's not very practical. Look, I need help right here and now. But God says, when you feel afraid, don't worry about the solution. Come to me right away. What we need more than any solution is to remember that our God is with us. David says this, one thing I ask of the Lord, one thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, that I might seek him in his temple. This is Hebrew poetry, and he's really saying the same thing several times. To dwell in the house of the Lord is to be aware of his presence, to know that God is with us, whatever our circumstances are, to gaze upon the beauty of God. You see, this is where when we're afraid, we run into trouble when we try to live by our gut and by our feelings. We need to live by the facts. When David is talking about gazing on the beauty of the Lord, he's saying taking time to reflect and meditate on who God really is. And we do that today by opening the Bible and reading what it says about God. Too often we have this caricature of what we think God is like. And more often than not, this character is nowhere like the way God reveals himself to us in the Bible. Gaze upon the beauty of God. Know that God is your strong deliverer. He's your light, your salvation, your stronghold. To seek him in the temple. It says, hey, Lord, I'm aware of you're all around me. You are with me. Lord, I want to know what you're really like, and I'm going to trust you for a plan from here on out. He goes on in verse 5, for in the day of trouble, he'll keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I'll sing and make music to God. Because David gets this one thing, he knows that he is going to be safe and he will experience ultimate victory. Because something we must understand is that God's presence drives away fear. There's no room in our heart for fear and God's presence. It's one or the other. And when we can get our head above our feelings, that gut feeling, and say, wait a minute, I'm going to trust God, that's when we have a chance to overcome fear. He says this in verse 7, hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me. Answer me. Lord, please listen to me. I'm trusting you enough to call on you. Then in verse 8, he says this, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. When the unexpected happens, when anything that gives us that jolt of fear, we've got to speak to ourselves rather than listen to ourselves. When you listen to yourselves, those gut feelings that run through will take control of you. When you speak to yourself, you take the truth of Scripture and say, wait a minute, God is still in control. No, I don't understand what is going on. I don't like what is going on. But the truth is that God is my light, my salvation, and my stronghold. He must have something he's doing, and I'm going to trust him for that. He goes on in verse 9, don't hide your face from me. Don't turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Don't reject me or forsake me. Oh, God, my Savior. And it's just that sense of, oh, Lord, I need you. I want you to be in control. I'm turning to you. I'm counting on you, God, to take care of me. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. God will never reject us. David speaks to himself. He said, everyone is turned away from me. But you know, that didn't matter because God, you are with me. You will never reject me. Verse 11, he cries out, teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my aggressors. Lord, would you help me to make sense of what's going on here? But this only happens after you run to the stronghold. Don't try to figure it out before you're in that stronghold. Verse 12, don't turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. Verse 13, David has thought through everything, and he said, this is the truth. No matter what my circumstances, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David knew that God had called him to be king. Each of us, we don't know exactly what God has in store for us. We don't know if he wants us here on earth a matter of days more or decades more. That's his call. But God wants us to trust him. The Bible says this. You can jot this verse down. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this. And this is true of any Christian, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is doing a work in each of us, and he is going to finish, which means we are invincible until he's ready to call us home. That is the confident assurance we have. And so when the unexpected happens, this is David's advice. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Wait for him. It's not easy for us to do. And again, in Northern Virginia, we don't like waiting on anybody. But we wait for God because he is the master of come-from-behind victories. If we try to take matters in our own hands, we mess up what God is orchestrating that we can't see. But God does work come-from-behind victories. You might be going through something right now which makes you fearful. You might be going through something now which shows you you are not in control. You might be going through something now and you're thinking, how can I provide for my family if this all goes wrong? Those are very real. But will you wait on God to come and do that come from behind victory? Or will you try to take matters into your own hands? Wait on the Lord. Be strong. Think rationally. God wants us to know the truth and then to base our lives on it. God wants to work with us so that our thoughts flow into our feelings rather than living our lives just by our feelings. And take heart. Settle in for the long haul. God doesn't go into shortcuts and cookie-cutter methods in all of our lives. God may allow hard things to happen to us because he says, you have no idea the great things I'm going to do through you and the things that you've gone through. Take heart. Wait for the Lord. It's going to be all right. We have nothing to fear. So what's gnawing at you? Different things get to us in different ways. We're all going to be different. Maybe your worst nightmare is your health being taken from you. Or maybe it's a relationship. or a job. Or rather than something being taken from you, it's a fear that something won't get fulfilled, something you really want. But you know, Jesus doesn't want you living in fear. He wants you living in the truth. So how can you get freedom from fear? Psalm 27 is a great place to start. You get freedom from fear, first of all, by believing that God is who he really is. Because if God is not who he is, then we've got no foundation. But God is greater than anything we can think of him. And he wants us to trust him. When those feelings of fear hit us, we need to speak the truth to ourselves. Don't live by your feelings. Don't live by the panic. Speak the truth to yourself. And then lastly, I'd say this. Give God a chance to work. No, things may not be going as you want right now. And you may be in a certain situation a lot longer than you would hope to be. But God says in his word that he works out all things for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8, verse 28. Will you believe that truth, that God can take any situation and make a fantastic come-from-behind victory? The choice is right there for all of us. Are we going to live by our fear, or are we going to live by the facts? Or are we going to let our gut dictate how we live? Or are we going to say, no, I trust God, and I know that he can do amazing things. It's your choice. Father, I pray that you would help us to live by the facts. Lord, you are able to do anything, and I pray that we would be a people that trust you for that. Lord, you know everything that is going on in every heart in this room. There are some maybe who are going through trials, who are suffering, and are fearful looking at the outcome. Lord, I pray that you would wrap your healing arms around them. I pray that you would assure them that you are in control and that you do work come from behind victories. Lord, for all of us, let us be people who trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.